Thank you, Mark. Good evening again. It's good to see each one out tonight. Tonight I'm going to use a sort of an object lesson that some time ago, I think it's been some time since I used it, but for some reason I felt a burden about doing it this week. And I wrestled with it for a little while, trying to decide whether to or not. And then on Tuesday night, Brother Ruddy gave out his text, and he said, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I said, well, Lord, you must be going to get it out one way or another. But he took something completely different. He went to the beginning of the chapter and spoke on prayer. And by the way, if you weren't here Tuesday night, you missed out on a good message to all of us as believers on prayer, the way that we should pray. And it's one of the, I think, one of the greatest lacks in most Christians' life is the lack of prayer. And I think the Bible teaches us, the Word of God teaches us that it is our power. And without it, you've already said often, many times, I've already said since I was a little boy, much prayer and much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. It's true. We really, as believers, I'm guilty of it myself. We do not lay hold upon God the way that we should. And that's why a lot of times we have the weakness in our lives. Well, tonight I want you to turn back to the same chapter Brother Roddy used on Tuesday night. And if you were here, you know it was Matthew chapter 6. And maybe we might bring in a few thoughts that Brother Mark preached on tonight. You know, I thought Brother Frank must have had him in training through the week and was, grooming him for service. Give us a few sermons here tonight. I saw a smile coming Brother Frank's face over that. Anyway, tonight we're going to read a few verses. I'm not going to read all of the verses tonight, but I'm going to read a few verses and then have a few thoughts from that before I go any further. And it's down to verse 19, down to verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, and I'm reading from New King James Version, so it may be just a word here and there, a little bit different, not much. Do not lay out for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay out for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now I've got a few objects here, and I used these. I don't know if you remember this, but I did use these some time ago, and I want to bring out a few thoughts from them tonight. This is something that we don't see too often today. This is very popular. And some of us, I guess, wish we had a few more of these. You know what this is? Can you see that? Okay, they can see it. All right. I remember as a boy, these things used to be floating around the drawers all the time. You know, it was used for a special reason. Back then, it was before, I guess the exterminators came around and they put the tents over the house to take care of all the pests that we had. But there was these things that they used to call moths that would get inside of your drawers. And if you had clothes inside of there for a long period of time, sometimes when you took them out, you had very little cloth left. Or there'd be a lot of holes and things that would be inside of that material. And you wouldn't be able to wear it anymore. So they would put these things inside of them. It was supposed to be used as prevention. Before I go any further, let me just say that what we're going to talk about tonight is protection and provision. So on the first part, we're going to be talking about protection. So these things were used basically to stop the moths from eating holes in your clothes. They had a awful smell. At least I thought they did. I don't know what you thought. But I thought they smelt awful when you pull the drawers open and the heavy scent inside of there. But they claimed that it protected. Okay? And the scripture spoke about all of that, right? Right there in verse 19, it says, don't lay out for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth will come in or destroy, and rust comes in and destroys, and where thieves break in and they steal. So we're going to use, I got some WD-40. I borrowed all of this stuff, by the way. I didn't have to pay for it. this stuff is used to prevent what? Come on. I mean, and it's true, right? You take any tool. If you take any tool, especially what they call a crescent wrench or a pair of pliers, and I see it happen on board of the boat a lot, where it's around salt, the salt water and whatever. If you just lay these tools up, they get all rusty. You go to use it, it's not usable. You can't get it to move. But if it's sprayed with this thing, so they say, and it does, it works to a certain extent, it will prevent the rust and stop the things from freezing up. And then we had the padlock, where people can't break in and steal. Very important thing. Most of us wouldn't like to know, I guess, that we had to live in this world without a lock. I mean, most of our homes, I would say all of our homes, have locks on it that we use to keep people out that we don't want in. And we lock up our homes, we lock up our boats, anything that is of any value to us, we like to keep it under lock and key, even your crab cups, right? See, you didn't want nobody getting in, stealing your crabs, although we haven't gotten any so far this year. And by the way, is Sonia here? She's not here? She tells me every day, you know, when she comes out of her house, you better start praying for rain. And I have. I'll tell you what, you all know I don't like rain. I don't like, it destroys my day most of the time. Some people say it makes their day, but I have. We really do need the rain. But anyway, just getting off track. The lock is used to secure things. We use it every single day of our lives. It's used to secure. Now, if we depended upon the three things that are here tonight to prevent all of the things that I talked about from happening, do you think it will happen? Do you think this could really stop all of the moths from heating the holes in the clothes? Do you think this will really stop all of the rust from coming? And by the way, nobody ever breaks in when the door's locked, right? Have you ever seen that happen? I mean, that's just happened in the last week or two, right? Right here in this island. People have their houses or their shops locked up or their business place locked up and think everything is secure inside of there. Go home, go to bed, and say, well, everything's okay. You go back to work the next day and find out that somebody broke in, even with the lock. And I'll tell you what, these things may work to a certain extent, but they didn't work all the time, because I found many times as a boy, if I laid up a T-shirt inside of the drawer too long when I pulled it out, I still found a hole in it, even with these things swinging around inside of the drawer. So, but they do. They all have their place. And I'm going to tell you another thing, young people, and older ones as well. If we are building and putting our confidence in the things of this world to protect us and to take care of us, guaranteed, it will fail. It cannot work. To a certain extent, and so far it will go, and that's it. It's not going to work. That's why the Bible tells us that the material things, the things that we think are so valuable to us, all of our riches, whatever it may be, they're not going to be here forever. And I'll tell you what, as Mark was saying tonight, they're prophesying doomsday. Well, I'll tell you what, that day is coming. The day will come, but it won't come 1 second before God wants it to come. It will come in this appointed time. And whatever we have in this world, as far as our riches are concerned, it's going to stay here when Christ comes and he takes the church home. Young people, I want you to listen to that tonight. Whatever we have, I don't care what it is, if you're a born-again Christian, and when the Lord comes, you're going to leave everything behind. Your skateboards, your bicycles, your motorbikes, whatever it is that you value so much today, you're not going to take it with you. That's the material things of this world. So that should not be the things that you're focusing your entire life upon, because they're not going to really matter. The things that we should be focusing our lives upon is the Lord Jesus Christ and what we can do for Him, because they are the things that are going to be valuable when He comes. They're the things that we're laying up in heaven, the things that we do for Him. The things that are down here, that's why the Bible says there in verse 19 or verse 20, that we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth is not going to get in. There won't be any there to destroy it. And where the rust is not going to be to destroy it. And where thieves are not going to break in and steal, because nobody's going to be there. Only those that are born again and those that love the Lord Jesus Christ been washed in His precious blood. So it's going to be free from sin. Nothing is going to be able to take away anything that we have laid up in heaven. And that's why I honestly believe why Scripture is trying to get that across to us, that each and every one of us will stop and think of what has the most value in our lives. Is it the things that we possess here in this earth, or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's why we have to lay up for ourselves, as the Bible says, treasures in heaven. Now, after saying that, I'm going to read some more verses. We're going to talk about God's provision. We're going to lay out for ourselves treasures in heaven, and we have His protecting hand upon us, and we also have His providing hand. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable or of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? And consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, this is the verse I want you to listen to. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need, or that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Provision. How many of us really believe that God is going to provide for us? And He's going to take care of us. And I tell you, a lot of times, if you would sit down in our midst and listen at our conversations, the way that we talk, you'd swear that God has never met our needs, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know whether we'll be able to get food to eat or whatever. We just do not put our faith and trust in the one that says He's going to meet our needs, not our wants. He didn't say that. He said, but He will take care of our needs. And Scripture there says, look, have you ever considered the birds, you know, how God takes care of them? He feeds them every day. Look at the grass. He sends the rain for the grass to grow. He does that for the grass and for the birds. And then He says, well, what about me and you? Is He capable of taking care of me and you? I wonder if we ever ask ourselves that question. Is God really capable of taking care of me and you? But I'll tell you what. He is. And He has promised us that He will do that. Now I'll tell you, boys and girls, young people, and older ones as well, I'm not trying to say that we're supposed to sit down in our seat and think that everything is going to be put into our hands. No, that's not what the Word of God is teaching us. We have to work. And if we don't work, we won't eat. You know, things is not just going to fall right into our laps. But God has promised that he's going to take care of us. And after all, like I just finished saying, these are the material things. They're the things of this life. And they seem, too many times, seem to control our thoughts and to control our every being, every day. It seems that that's all we let fill into our minds, concerned about the things of this world and how long it's going to last and when will it all come to an end. And I'll tell you, we don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. But we believe, as Brother Mark said already tonight, we believe it's very soon. I hate to hear people, I don't know if I should use that word, hate, but anyway, I don't like to hear when people start to put dates on, and times on Christ's return, because that's not for us to know. It's not for us to know. If God would have wanted us to know that, he would have laid it out in his word. And I don't think he will ever give that revelation to any one person. You probably heard me say this before, because if he gave that revelation to one person, then throughout the countless ages of eternity, he would be bragging about, well, God told me and he didn't tell you. So he's not going to give that revelation to anybody. He says only God knows that. And when that time comes, he is going to send his son to claim the bride that he purchased on the cross of Calvary. And we believe it soon. Like I was saying, somebody I remember as a young boy, a man said to me one day, he says, you know what, my brother? The Lord will come by the year 1994. I said, how do you know that? He says, well, scripture, it tells us that. He went to a few scriptures about telling us about when Israel became a nation and whatever. And I didn't say anything to him. I just said, you know, I think that God, only God knows that. But I'll tell you what. Has 1994 reached us yet? 2004 has passed, and we're into 2008. And the person that told me that is already dead and gone. And he believed that he would be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returned. Now, that person is in heaven now. And the year 1994 has come. And it's not for us to be sitting down trying to figure out the time or the date when Christ is coming. Our duty is to be living for him, watching and waiting every single day as born-again believers. So he has given us his protecting hand. He protects us. And he's given us his providing hand. All we need to do is to commit our lives into his hands and to his keeping. And if we do that, and I speak to myself more than you, because I probably am more guilty than most of you in here tonight. We just need to be watching and waiting and ready. Most of all, ready for his return. It could be, as we heard tonight. It could be tonight. I don't know. It could be. So it just behooves each and every one of us. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have the assurance that you're going to have tomorrow or another chance. You have the opportunity now. So it's your opportunity and your chance right now to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're here and you know the Lord, then it is our duty to love and to serve him with what time that we have left here. Shut down, let us pray. Our Father, tonight we thank you afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his protecting hand. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to come and to die on the cross of Calvary, that you might give us life, give us the assurance that one day we would be with you forevermore. And Father, we realize that there may be some here tonight, young or old, that still has never yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we pray that tonight, before they leave the building, that they will come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. And Father, we thank you for your providing hand as well. And we just pray that you would continue to be with us and help us each one to realize that all we have belongs to you. You've given us everything that we have. And without you, we're nothing. And so we just pray, Father, that each day as we live our lives, that we will indeed live as if the Lord Jesus Christ may come today and that we will be witnesses for him for the time that we have left in this life. So, Lord, we just commit this service now to your hands and keeping, asking again your blessing to be upon it as we continue to give you thanks and praise in your own worthy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming out, and trust that each one has been blessed as we listen to the music and also the Word of God tonight. Thank you.